afternoon. And I think it's going to be faster, but that's not always the case. But I am going to read 10 through 29. Hardy har har, you'll laugh. At one point, I actually had this thought of preaching 10 through 29 in one sermon. Now, the only reason I would do that is I want you to see the cohesion of Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 29. And I don't want the first time that I read these verses to be the first time you've paid attention to them in a while. I want you to see that, and here's what I would love. I'm encouraged if something is read in the Word of God and it stimulates you to go do some research. That would be good. And so as we're reading Galatians 3, 10 through 29, the encouragement is I'm only preaching 10 through 13. I want you to say, I have no idea what that's about, and I want you to wrestle with it. Before you turn to commentaries or anything, I want you to wrestle with it within the context. I want you to come to a conclusion before you use help, whether it's you call a friend, someone. I want you to learn to wrestle with the Word of God, and you're going to be wrong sometimes. Look at Peter, you know, he told the Lord, rebuked the Lord. But he was right a number of times too. I want you to get comfortable with you wrestling with the Scriptures. So let's read Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 29. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. That's the best the Bible goes in saying, duh, okay? That's that verse 11, okay? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. I'll just tell you this just so you don't get too confused. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant, that the law was given 430 years after the final confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant, not the initial confirmation. We'll look at all that in future weeks. And so what he's saying is the old covenant, which is the law, was given 430 years later. It's not going to disannul this covenant that he made with Abraham. That's all it's saying. It's not going to wipe it out. It's not going to supersede it. It's not going to make it of none effect. That's all it's saying. Maybe that didn't help. Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, if we are saved and are inheritors of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? So what purpose is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Let me just tell you what that means. You don't mediate with yourself. Okay? It's not we make things way more difficult. You have to mediate between two parties, at least. Okay? Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now let's go back and read verses 10 through 13, and that's what I'll focus on this morning. It didn't seem as good as I thought it would be. I've read it so many times that when I'm reading it, I'm like, they have no idea what they just read. Okay, sorry. I want you to, it's too much sometimes, too much, so forgive me. But you should dissect this and enjoy it. I want you to go back. Anyway, verse 10 through 13, let's read this. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in faith. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Tell the message this afternoon, the glorious work of Christ. I want you to see that when we see in verse 10, to be under the law is to be under the curse. Remember, we've talked about this. Is to be under the law is to be under the judgment of the law. When we have been saved, we are no longer under the judgment of the law. The Lord God has accepted the payment of Christ that we are no longer going to be judged by the law. We are no longer under the law. Do not think in the terms of we are above the law. It's not even dealing with that. But we are not under the judgment of the law. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And so understand this. It's so offensive. It's so unBible when somebody suggests that their works have anything to do with their salvation. That their works have anything to do with obtaining salvation. That their works have anything to do with keeping their salvation. It's offensive to God, it's offensive to Christ, but I will tell you this, if works have anything to do with our salvation, with the obtaining of it or with the keeping of it, then we are under the law and we are under the curse. So if you and your works get you to heaven, which praise the Lord they don't, because if they do, I tell everyone that believes that, I'll see you in hell. We can't do it. We can't have a perfect day. You see, we misunderstand perfection. Perfection is not avoiding bad things. It's doing everything that you should have done that was right. You passed people that you should have helped. You didn't witness to people that you should have. We just sin with the selfishness. We don't go a day without sin. And so if we are saved, obtaining it, or maintaining it by works. Look at this. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You're under the curse of the law. I mean, look at Galatians chapter 1. I want you to help you understand what that means. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. If you understand what the curse is, you're under the condemnation. You're under the damnation of the law, if you will. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, let him be a damned, let him be anathema. It is not the same word, but it's the same concept that you're under the curse. You will be damned if you're under the law. Look at verse 10 again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It means to be under God's judgment. It is all or nothing, perfection or cursed. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. It'll match in spirit what is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Deuteronomy 27:26, the same spirit. Deuteronomy 27:26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, confirmeth or to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. I mean, what it's saying is, you're cursed if you don't keep the entire law. This is a great passage for people that want to teach that you're saved by works in any way, shape, or form. it is so crystal clear, we can't do it. I want you to understand this. This should be so good for you and I. We should see Christ as more glorious than we do. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way that could accomplish what we could never accomplish. I mean, it's just impossible, right? Look at verse 11. It is obvious. No one can keep the law. That's what he's saying. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Duh! It's one of the most ridiculous things that people can actually suggest. So be nice about it. Be kind about it. I'm very passionate about it. This is something that I do fall on my sword over. This is a fall on the sword thing. There is. It's because it's a gospel issue. This is a gospel issue. We are not saved by works. There's no works. This is so crystal clear. If works have anything to do with my salvation, I'm cursed. And so are you. Delight in that. I also, again, I think we're talking salvation, but I think we can do ourselves disservice to Christ when we put ourselves back under doing is the way that we are a good Christian. I will tell you this. I know there is a doing, and I lean toward doing, but it's by faith. Are you living by faith, or are you living by habit? Are you living by doing? We've got to live by faith. And that's what it talks about here. But he says, verse 11, he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's quoted from the Old Testament. I didn't look it up. I think it's Micah. Is it in Micah? Micah or Malachi? One of those. The just shall live by faith. It's in one of the minor prophets. So now I've got one of 12. And so I should have looked it up where it was at. I used to know. But I've forgotten. I want you to understand this. It is, I've so enjoyed this. I'm enjoying this. So I've told you this, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And I've talked this just recently, but you know, second and third places, faith and hope, right? I want to take you over, I'm going to show you this. I want to take you over to John 14, and I'm going to force fit this. You may not believe this. What's that? Habakkuk. I knew it was one of the minor prophets. Thank you. Yeah, Habakkuk. Yeah, my favorite book. How many times do you ever hear me reference Habakkuk? That's why. But I mean, I preached Habakkuk. I mean, it's good. It's just nothing's running through my mind right now except the just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to go home this week, do a little refresher on Habakkuk. Make sure I'm saying it right in the first place. I always think, you know, when I ever hear Habakkuk, I always think, this is probably just terrible. Take a little between your cheek and gum, and there's full Habakkuk pleasure. Yeah, but some of you know, anyway, it's an old commercial with tobacco. Not good. John chapter 14, but I've always changed it to Habakkuk. Anyway, John chapter 14, I refer to this a lot, but I've also just... I want to live by three things. The just shall live by faith. Understand this. So what does it mean the just shall live by faith? There's several things. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot live eternally without faith in Christ. That's the predominant meaning that it's talking about. But I also believe it's talking about you cannot live the effective life in Christ without faith. And so I think I've discounted that. I've probably discounted that because I had this huge boulder in front of my eyes that say I need to be more loving, I need to be more loving, and I think I've discounted faith and hope. John 14, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to show you that what the three things Jesus is pointing the apostles to, I think is faith, hope, and charity. I think you'll see this. And so what this teaches me, when you're discouraged, you need to lock into faith in Christ, hope of the future, confident expectation, and love for Christ. Look at John 14. This is after he drops three bombs. You're used to me saying this. One of you is going to deny me. Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the morning, before the cock crows twice. And I'm leaving and you can't come with me. Right? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And then you know Thomas's response. Let me show you this. I believe faith, hope, and charity is all in this. Look at verse 1. This is what Jesus would tell us to do when we are at the depths of discouragement. These guys are going to be even deeper discouraged because in a matter of hours, Christ is going to be mutilated and he's going to be on the cross. But they are at their wit's end. Christ is basically saying, I'm leaving and you can't come with me. What did we leave everything for 3 years? He says, you believe in me, believe also in God. What would that be? Faith. You believe in me, believe also in God. Then he says this, and I've always told you this, I've preached this way. I've said, this seems so crazy that Jesus would then, but he's always right. When I say it's crazy, it's just because I'm too stupid to know what he's doing. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What would that be? Hope. Hope. It seems so silly to me. Lord, you're about to be mutilated and crucified. Now, they don't know all this, right? They're going to be shocked when the soldiers show up and their whole world's going to be turned upside down. And then the beautiful thing is, their world needed to be turned upside down before they could turn the world upside down. That's a new theme of mine as well. You'll get tired of that eventually. But if you see this, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Faith. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hope. It will be worth it all. Hang in there. Serve the Lord. And then you're wondering, where do I get charity? I want to make sure that we understand this. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Let me tell you, if you love someone, you can't wait to see them, right? Too bad I have to give the illustration of when Deb and I were dating. but I want that sparked again, right? I want that sparked again. I mean, I'm telling you, every minute of my day was dominated for to see her for 90 minutes, right? And so it was no jokes. I'm just going to stay with it. You can tell the wheels were turning. But when Jesus says, I will come again, it's love, Randall. It's love. You see, I've struggled with this all my life. You know why I've always wanted Jesus to come back? I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of sinning. I want out of here. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready to go. But when I'm thinking right, the older I get, the reason I want Christ to come back, I love him. I'm not there. But I think Jesus, he gave them faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. He told them, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's good. And I go to prepare a place for you. And then he said this, I will come again. And Randall, when we're thinking right, it's because we love him. Not because we just want to escape all the problems. And there are a lot of problems here. But faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Now turn back to Galatians chapter 3. I want you to see this. The just shall live by faith. And I want you just to compartmentalize, if you will. And I'm sorry, this is how I preach. If God's been doing something in my life, I think it's worthwhile for you to get. I've been living one day at a time. And not every day is as successful as the other. But I'm not going to live my life carrying all the burdens from my failures of yesterday. I can't do that. I'm going to try to turn to the Lord and let go of it, and I'm going to try to say, today I can have victory. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to trust the Lord one circumstance at a time, and I'm going to live for him today. It's 2:15. I'll be in bed in less than 10 hours. I got 9 hours and 45 minutes to live for Jesus. And I want to live for him so well that my dreams are good. If you have bad dreams, take it to the Lord. I would. And I'm not saying it's because you're thinking of bad things. I'm thinking, take your dreams to the Lord. But I've got 9 hours and 45 minutes of waking time. And I want to serve him. I want to finish well. It's always a good day. We feel a little bit more spiritual on an afternoon service. And we're kind of excited that you never know. Man, when we started early, you thought, we might get off early. I'm not going to let that happen because I don't want you to be hopeful too much. And because charity's the best thing, so we're not going to give you too much hope today. But it's this. I want to tell you this. Steve, you can have victory. Rachel, you can be a better Rachel for the honor of Christ. I want to do it for the honor of Christ. Sunday's all I've been given. I'm going to live by faith. You know this? God can help me live for him. God can help me do what's right. God can help me be a Christian that I've always wanted to be in my dreams. And I'm going to live that by faith one day at a time. The just shall live by faith. Do you believe him? Are you interested? Or are you going to let all the negative circumstances of life just crowd you in and convince you that you can't do it? That's of the devil. The just shall live by faith. I've counted on my eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to count on him today. And I'll tell you this, I am excited. I don't know if I've been this excited in a long time. I want to finish the next 9 hours and 45 minutes. And then when he calls me home, I want him to call me home and I don't have to say, well, I'm so sorry. I want to be walking with him. I want to be happy I'm with him, and I want to know what's going on with the work down here. The just shall live by faith. I distinguish this, and then I'm going to move on. It's not by works. Be doers of the word, but it's by faith. Don't live on your works. I've done that too much of my life. Those generate miserable Christians. I don't think I've been a miserable Christian, but I haven't been a victorious Christian. I'm a doer. It has nothing to do with me. It's the way I'm wired. And the way I was raised, and I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know this. I want to live by faith. I want to live for the honor of Christ by faith. There's one reason I want to live, and that's that. The just shall live by faith. And it's distinguished here. I just want to make sure you get this message. It's distinguished from works, right? It's distinguished from works. I know you're working hard. I know. And I press that a lot, don't I? We ought to be teaching people. We ought to be witnessing. We ought to be out there. What did you do this week where somebody could go to heaven, right? I know I ask those questions. But live by faith that you can do it. You can. That you will see opportunities. That God will use you. You don't have to be anything special. There's nobody special in here. There's one person that's special. That's Jesus Christ. Live by faith. Next time you have a negative thought come into your mind, say, who cares? Not about me anyway. I'm just going to live by faith that Jesus is big enough to use a dunce like me. Whatever you think about yourself, it doesn't matter. Christ is big enough. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I'm encouraged with that. He says, the just shall live by faith. I want you to see this. Following the law is not of faith. This can be a little walkthrough for your friends that want to believe they're good enough to get to heaven or they're good enough to keep their salvation. He says this, and the law is not of faith. Doing works is not of faith. It's like when an employer pays you, how much faith is in that employer? When they hire you, maybe. But when they pay you, Kevin, you'll stop paying a guy if he's not doing the work, right? And I know maybe there's a little faith that you're like, surely he's going to get better, right? But when he pays you, when you pay them, it's because I pay you for what you do. It's not by faith, is it? It's by works. You see, I want you to look at verse 12 again. It is this. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. This is important for you and I. I think we understand this here. Salvation's not of works. But those that don't, you be loving about it. Be kind about it. Just take them here and ask them what they think this passage is talking about. It says this, if you live by works, if you are going to be justified by works, what does it say in verse 12? It says you shall live in them, right? Turn over to, I can't remember, sometimes it's a Bible study, sometimes it's not. Let me just read this, because this, I think I've showed you this. Listen to this, at the great white throne judgment, I think I've read it before here, it says that they will be judged according to their works, right? I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 3. I want you to understand one passage here. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 12. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. I want you to just let your wheels be turning. It's okay if you disagree with me. It's okay if you... not sure. Don't just agree with me and believe it. I want you to test it. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. It says, For as many have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, I use this passage regularly to explain why I believe babies will go to heaven because they do not have the knowledge of the law, and it says, for as many as have sinned without law. That would be those babies that don't have understanding. They shall also perish without the law. But as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. But there is a really cool application here. When I am saved, do I still sin? But I'm no longer under the law. And I will not perish by the law. But I do believe it's talking about, I use that to apply to babies. Romans 7 is another good section as well, but I'm not going to go into that. Now turn back to Galatians chapter 3. Following the law is not of faith. I could take you to Romans chapter 6 that says it's either grace or works. But just look at verse 12. He says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And so just simply, I put this, if we seek justification by the law, we will be judged by the law. That's what verse 12 is saying. The man that doeth them, the man that is striving to live by the law, he shall live in them. And so I'm super passionate about this. Now, somebody has asked me before, I think I may have mentioned this. Can somebody be saved and believe you can lose your salvation? Can they be saved? Okay, I'm going to ask for a raise of hands. First question is, you're going to say no. Can someone be saved and believe they can lose their salvation? How many say no? Did I ask the question weird again? Can somebody be saved and believe they can lose their salvation? How many say no, they can't? How many say yes, they can? Okay. I'm with the yes, but I'll tell you this, there can be a no. If somebody comes to Christ believing that it's a cooperative, it's Christ plus them. If somebody comes to Christ believing that he is only part of the solution, he's not all of the solution, and God, he's perfect. You understand this? It's not like they're going to say, what do you think, Steve? Whew, I don't know, that's a toughie. You know, God, he knows the heart of men. You understand that? So this is the tough part. I'm convinced most people are taught you can lose your salvation after they're saved. Because they're like, no, you know, you got to be really careful because if you do this. No. But I also know this. It's why I'm terrified with Roman Catholics. They're never taught faith alone. It's always a mixed bag. And faith is so not talked. It is. This is what you have to do. This is the church you need to be. This is the system that'll get you there. Trust us. We got your back. The faith is in the system. Do I think there are some Roman Catholics saved? I do. I am terrified. And it's why you guys pray for Greek Orthodox the way you do. There seems to be some that are sincere, but it's hard to know. It's hard to know. Except by their works, you see, because it's terrifying, because I will tell you this, I know of no Roman Catholic Church that preaches faith in Christ and Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. I hope there's a priest out there that's a rogue priest, and he's preaching the truth, but he should leave and submit to the Lord. But if we seek justification by the law, we will be judged by the law. I want you to see this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I just want to, you know this. What does it mean to be redeemed? Here's the definition. A payment of a price to recover from the power of another. You know a synonym for redeemed? Ransom. The redemption and the ransom are the same. He says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I want you to understand this. He became a curse for us. But I want you to turn, if you will, I want you to turn to I didn't look this up. I'm going to look it up. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. I want to see. It might be in Luke, so I'm going to look it up real quick. It's not in Matthew, so you're turning to the wrong book. Is it in John? And I've gone over John so many times. It's not in Luke. It's probably in Mark. What's this? Ah, it's in John. I should have remembered it. John chapter 19. Turn to John chapter 19. I want you to look at John chapter 19, verse 30. Let's look at verse 28 to just give you kind of a, you'll remember some of this. Just Jesus' last moments on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 28. And this, after Jesus gives responsibility for his mother to John, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What that word means is paid in full. Paid in full. Now, then the question is, what was paid in full? It was the ransom that was paid in full. It was the redemption. Your redemption was bought. Now I want you to turn, and I'll turn to these backwards. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. But I also want you to show, I want to show you the link to this passage in Galatians. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. We can start in verse 5. It's interesting that we talk about a mediator in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want you to keep your finger in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, and Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Mark 10, 45, I won't turn you there, is a repeat of Matthew 10, 20, 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus, look at verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, then you'll ask this question in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says he gave himself a ransom for many. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says he gave himself a ransom for many. So here's what I want to tell you. I can show you in Romans chapter 8, in other spots in the Bible, many can be all. All doesn't always mean many, but many can be all. And so here's what I believe, is that look back at Galatians chapter 3. When it says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ became that curse, but it's this, he paid the ransom. He redeemed, he paid the redemption, he paid the price, but it's not effective until it's received by faith. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Understand this, people have that question. If Jesus died for all, if he paid the ransom for all, if he paid the redemption for all, then why don't all go to heaven? Because it must be mixed with faith. It must be received by faith. You understand that? Then it is imputed. His righteousness is imputed. It's deposited into your account. I'll just make a note since I use that term. I'll throw this out because I love I love you guys to think about this. I am convinced, I'm just studying the scriptures on some tangents that I have. I'm convinced that, one, I think I can prove this, that when we're saved, his righteousness is immediately imputed unto you. You're a new creature, and the new man never sins. I don't think I said anything controversial there. Here's the thing I want you to study the scriptures. I'm convinced that the lost men, their sin is not imputed until death. If their sin was imputed before death, they would face judgment. But their sin is imputed upon death. That's what I believe. Anyway, go study that. So now let's look back at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I want you to know this. He paid the price. He became a curse. He paid your damnation. He was on that cross, and when he said in John 19, it is finished, it was finished. Christ did not go to the place of fire called hell. In Acts chapter 2, it said it would not leave his body in hell. That word hell there just means the abode of the dead. It could mean the place of torment, but it's the abode of the dead. If Christ had to go to the place of fire, then it wasn't finished. And he had to continue the payment. He had to continue to satisfy God. But when he said, it is finished, he then said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The only time he said, my God, is when he was being a curse for you. He was taking your eternal damnation. He was being punished eternally for every one of your sins. Understand this. He became a curse. He became nasty. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the only time that there was a forsaking. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. I don't even know what it means exactly. There was a forsaking of the Godhead. The Father had forsaken the Son, and that had not happened in all of eternity, but it was because of sin. It was because Christ became accursed. Christ became the nastiness. Christ became the filthiness, and Christ became the curse, and the Father could not look upon his Son. The Father poured out his wrath upon his Son, and it pleased him to bruise him so that, Jaden, you might be saved. I want you to know this. The next time, see, I want you to live by faith. This is how conscious we need to be, Jaden. I want you to be this conscious. You're young. Hormones are raging. When the devil or your own flesh is trying to tempt you, I want you to remember this. It is worth it. You need to live by faith. I want you to remember what Jesus did for you. He took the eternal punishment for all your filthiness and all of mine. Can we not be motivated to live for him by faith? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's I'm telling you, it is worth it. And it'll be worth it for anybody that sacrifices. He will bless you. There is hope that it all is going to be made right. But Christ became our curse. He became our curse. Can I not live by faith? I feel like a little kid. I'm going to live one day at a time by faith. And I wish I knew this. I wish I was focused on this. I think I knew this. I wasn't focused on this 40 years ago. I tell you that because I want you to enjoy the Lord in victory. I don't want you to be walking around just, you know, he shouldn't love me, he shouldn't love me, he shouldn't love me, right? Brethren, he loves me, he loves me not. That's not God. You know, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. But I always walk around going, he shouldn't. I want to have victory. Not, you know what? You won't know that I have greater victory. I think you'll be able to tell it on my countenance because I don't think I'm trying to be a fake. I am what I am in public, but I just want to honor Christ by faith. And when I get a hold of this, Jaden, when I get a hold of all that Jesus suffered for me, he became a curse for me. I don't want to be a curse from God. I don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Christ took my punishment so that I don't have to. He's worthy of me living this day and saying, nope, Christ is worthy. I'm going to walk by faith, not doing it. And I have to submit to him because it's overwhelming sometimes, is it not? Is it not overwhelming? I mean, okay, maybe I probably shouldn't be talking to this bluntly in public, right? But it's like, that's the truth. Every single person in this room understands that. The battle to walk in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. But I want to tell you this, it's simple. Just faith. One moment at a time, one day at a time, and just live by faith. And then you know what'll follow? Obedience. You don't have to work on the obedience. I know I sound nuts a little bit. I've always worked on being disciplined. If I walk by faith and I surrender to Him, my obedience will follow. Walk by faith. Christ became a curse for us. Remember, I talked about this when I started. I'm done. The glorious work of Christ. How dare we? And I don't think anybody in this room. See, you got to be loving about it, because it's an irritation moment for me. I will tango with people on door knocking. If they want to suggest to me that their works get them in heaven, it's worthy to tango with them, because it's a gospel issue. And even after I study these things, I'll say, how dare we act as though the curse that Christ took upon Himself was not enough. He was cursed, and yet you have to add to it. That's called blasphemy. I want nothing part of it. And if my works have anything to do with it, the Bible says I'm cursed again. I go from being free to where I'm put back under the curse, and I'm doomed. How dare we suggest it? You see, do you understand how all this works? See, what they accuse us of, oh, if I believe that, then I would go sin all I want. No, not if I'm really saved and I know my Savior and I know what He went through for me, and I desire this. Oh, Christian, don't you desire to honor Christ? Don't you desire to do what's right? We can do what's right. I want to be honest with you. If your answer is no, you're probably lost. I know you guys. I know you want to do what's right. I interact with all you all the time. I believe that. We can have greater victory just honoring Him. And the obedience will flow. We get it backwards still, don't we? I believe my preaching can be backwards. Do, do, do. No. Trust, trust, trust. Faith, faith, faith. Submit, submit, submit. And obedience comes. He's good. Aren't you glad you don't live by works? But let's live by faith. Nobody in this room thought you'd get to heaven by works before I started. But I'm convinced most of us are still trying to make Jesus happy by what we do. We'll make Him happy if we trust Him. And when we trust Him, we'll have victory. Let's pray. Father, I am...